Welcome to the Militant Grind Show, where we dive deep into the journeys of those who've mastered the art of being their best selves. Every episode is a testament to resilience, dedication, and the pursuit of excellence, embodying our tagline, the most honorables. Here you'll find inspiration, insights, and strategies to elevate your life in every aspect. For more empowering content and to join our community of achievers, visit us at militantgrind.com. Let's embark on this journey together because the grind never stops. Are you ready for a radical transformation? Join the ranks of the most honorables. Our proven methods forge resilience, sharpen strategic thinking, and unlock your true potential. We'll challenge you mentally, physically, and spiritually, preparing you to overcome any obstacle. Visit militantgrindacademy.com and begin your evolution. Greatness awaits. Forge your path. Ignite your future. Most of all, join the movement.
Welcome to the Militant Grind podcast, where today we are joined by Cassandra Dean Van Curen. Born into a religiously abusive home, Cassandra's journey of self-discovery and healing led her to become a certified practitioner in various spiritual disciplines. Through her work and personal story, she aims to empower others to break free from societal programming and embrace their true essence. Join us as we explore Cassandra's transformative journey and learn how to unlock your authentic potential. Cassandra, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Sherman, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk with you.
Yeah, likewise. I'm excited for you to be here. And once I read your story, I was just like, oh yeah, I definitely have to see how this came about, because I often learn that a lot of people that go through abusive situations end up having a hard time when it comes to self-worth. Mm-hmm. And they could go throughout their whole entire lives like not knowing, you know, and then learning about you and how you actually like did the work to actually discover more about yourself. And now that you got the tools, you're helping other people. I was like, wow, that's an amazing story, you know, and there's a lot about you that I feel like, you know, you have to talk about, but for the listeners, but that I know. And I was like, you know what? I love stories like this. It's like an underdog story, you know?
Yeah.
So where are you from? Where did you grow up at?
So I presently am in Florida. I was born in Ohio, but we moved pretty early on at the age of 7. And yeah, one thing about my childhood is, yeah, we moved a lot. Not a military family. We just moved a lot. It was difficult for my mother, especially, to find places that felt good enough for her. And so we would be off to the next place over and over again. But I've lived most of my life here in Florida in a small town, a little bit out in the country. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Cool. So I thought you were Amish when you said you were born in Ohio. You said religiously abusive. So how was it growing up, you know, within your household as a child?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, honestly, before the church, it wasn't exactly great. I've learned that my mother kind of fits the category of like a narcissist. There was a lot of dysfunction in the home. I can remember at an early age, like my mother sitting me down and telling me she was suicidal, and it was kind of on me to keep her from doing this. And I was in third grade. So it wasn't exactly great. They found shortly after God, but I say they found the devil because that is kind of what we heard more about, is the devil. And so we, you know, were raised, my brother and I, in what I would label as a fundamentalist Christian high control environment that was abusive. And when I say abusive, I mean, I feel there's a lot of elements of religion that can be taken too far, especially when we're talking about, like you said, our sense of self, our identity, who we are. Mm-hmm. It can be challenging with high control religions, but They took it a little further to where religion was used for efforts to brainwash, deceive, manipulate us that were very challenging, such as one of the hardest ones was my mom trying to deliver me from a spirit of lust as a teenager and told me, despite being like, oh my gosh, I'm possessed, like she's saying I'm possessed, so I must be possessed because that's what my mother says. I don't want this. And, you know, her saying, oh no, you want your demons. So you're just going to keep them until you're ready to get rid of them. And so I grew up with all sorts of, you know, trauma responses, difficulty being alone, people pleasing, no sense of identity or self. The whole rapture, like post-traumatic stress syndrome thing is really real. Like waking up and nobody there and thinking like, oh my God, I'm not good enough. I've missed it. And it's off to an internal damnation for me. And so there was a lot of layers there. I moved out when I was 18, sadly, when my grandfather committed suicide and my mother said it was because he was not on fire enough for God. So the devil, you know, God allowed the devil to have his life. And that kind of was the last straw. So I moved out and sort of just fumbled through life until my 40s, and I had my spiritual awakening.
Wow. I'm familiar with Christian extremism, but that's pretty intense. Golly. Because I grew up in a household where my dad was Muslim and my mom was Christian. And,
Okay,
both of
yeah.
them were kind of like hardcore in their beliefs. And sometimes it was just like, oh my God. But one thing that I've noticed with Christianity is that they teach fear so much.
Yes.
Where it could like mess you up in your mind when it comes to like you just being a person, like your body is naturally telling you at a certain at like 12, 13 years old or after you have your period to have sex. It's like that's nature. But nurture is telling you it's wrong, it's the devil, it's this and it's that. And it's just like, nah, this is a natural feeling that people just have to have the discipline on controlling, like embrace it. And it was just crazy how much I was always a rebellious kid, but it was just kind of like a point where I was just like, man, F this. I'm tired of being in fear. I don't even, it's not the fact that I don't love God, but I mean, I want to love God, but the only reason why I love God is because you guys taught me to fear hell. And it kind of messed me up. It was like, the fear of hell is making you love God and want to be obedient to God. And then I started to feel like a slave, like, man, what? No, like, I don't feel like this is what God is about. And that's when I just rebelled and started going into all different kinds of stuff. But it was kind of like I went through a rabbit hole. Yeah. And so when did you end up getting married? Because I've also seen that.
Very early. Very early. I mean, I say that because it was kind of like, once again, we go back to the upbringing and the conditioning. And that's the thing, you know, with the messages that I share, is it's like until you confront and realize these things, they're going to continue to play out in your life. And so, you know, I met somebody and it was like this person now was going to become my person to tell me that what I was supposed to do. I wanted someone to, you know, have that authority figure over me. And so we, you know, we kind of dated for a really long time. I had a hard time, like I said, living on my own due to fear. So I was really kind of one of those pushy girlfriends that's like, okay, come on now. You know, it'll be fine. I promise. Boy, was he in for a ride. And so, yeah, I got married at 22, but we dated 4.5 years pretty much instantly when I moved out. I jumped into because that's what I needed. You know, I wasn't capable of having that sense of self and discovery on my own. So I went from one situation to another situation.
Wow. And so how did you feel about yourself at that moment? Like, what was it?
Oh.
What was like your thought process? Because it's like you're free now. And usually when people are in like a controlled, abusive household and they become free, they like wild out, I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah, that's what is so, kind of sad about it is that fear followed me. Like, I felt like going out on my own was okay. It was helpful. But I was still in the church. I still was living with that fear of not being good enough. And then, of course, being raised in purity culture, you add to that the fact that I'm in a dating relationship, and all of the complications and things that go along with that. And so I didn't. It wasn't until much later in my life that I had my first experience where I got drunk. I just was like determined to be that good girl, to fit that perspective of what was being expected of me so that, I mean, there was so much fear of like possession and devils and demons and hell and all of those things. And I wish that I would have snapped out of it, but that is the hard part I feel like about deep religious conditioning is because the mere fact of thinking outside of that is incredibly threatening. And a lot of people lose the connections they do have, to the church or their family or relatives, when they start to entertain making these transitions into something else. And so, I would say my 30s kind of weaned myself off of being in the actual physical church building. And I justified it to myself as, something like my mother would say, oh, they're not holy enough. They're not good enough. This isn't in alignment with God. Like, we should just all be having kumbayas out on the hillside with a guitar. That should be religion, So yeah, I kind of stuck to my guns for a while. It wasn't until after I married and we started having difficulty that I, had experiences in drinking and, different things. Even that, it sounds mild, even saying, oh, I drank, I drank, I got drunk. Oh my God, I'm so horrible. I was wild.
No, that's nothing. You don't want to hear the stuff that I was doing when I was a teenager. Your blood. I told my mom something. She was like, "Oh my God." And I'm like, "Mom, that was over 20 years ago. Don't worry about
Yeah.
it. You know, it's over." You know what I'm saying?
Oh my God, I
But
love it.
yeah, I know what you mean. But like I would drink and I'll have like dark spirits come over me, I would feel, because of like the stuff
Yeah.
that I've been through and the mental torment. And that's when I was just like, oh, you know what? I don't think I should do this anymore. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Yeah.
It's just funny how that shift was. But yeah, wow, you were really a good girl then. How long were you married?
Oh boy, this is the first, and this is the first podcast I've got that question. So the going, my love for astrology and my surrender to life and the journey my soul came here to experience, I am in the process of a divorce after 25 years. So,
Whoa.
yeah,
Damn.
talk about surrender.
Jeez. That is a grown adult that graduated from, gr graduate school. God dang. That's.
It's been a journey since my awakening process of, that's the thing. When you go through something that completely alters your essence of who you are as an individual, and especially my experience was spontaneous. So it felt like undeniable. And I was surrendered to it. I was like, okay, I'm in, come what may. And it's working out for the betterment. It's kind of has some a little bit of dark feminine Isis energy, a part of it that's like awakening and pushing us in different directions, both of us. But I know it's for the highest good and what my soul wants to journey further into. And so I'm still showing up every day because that's all you can do.
Right. Right. Do you guys have any kids?
We do, yeah. 16-year-old child, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know that makes it a little tougher, but it's
Yep.
just two more years for an adult and then it's fine, you know.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I will say is we're pretty dang good at communication. That's one thing we do have. And I'm like, if we can't do this, I don't know who can. So I'm just surrendering. I'm surrendering. So, yeah.
That's crazy because I was in a ceremony doing a retreat and something came over. It was just like sometimes you just have to surrender to the flow and you can't
Yeah.
beat things into submission or try to control certain things. You just gotta, like, look, man, this is just the process. Go with the
Yeah.
flow. Yeah, because me, I have that dominant masculine energy where it's like, no, I'm in full control. And every single time, it's just like there's a barrier to resistance. Like, man, you can control some things, but you can't
Yeah.
control everything. Some things you just got to let it, you
Yeah.
know. And then I
It'll
freed myself from so much stress, so many unnecessary things that I was getting myself involved in, like other people's trauma, drama, and things like
Yeah.
that. Like, nah, man, you know, like it has to be
Yeah.
like this. But then I'm just like, hey, look, man, the only person I can control or focus on is me. Like, I can't
There you
control
go.
any other
Yep.
people, you know, like,
Absolutely.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We are here on our own soul's journey. And I think we are so conditioned to look externally that we forget that. And as far as the control piece, I know looking, we talked before the call about, astrology a little bit and your Capricorn moon, and I have the same, and yeah, it part of that is, that controlling piece, but it's hard because the more you try to control, it's like the more it's like the universe is like, oh, really? Oh, you think that's gonna work? And it just hits you,
Yeah,
and it hits you until finally you're like, fine, okay, I'm here.
right, exactly. Now I'm just like, man, when you know, it's a stubbornness too. And I have I think three earth signs.
Do you?
Yeah,
Yeah.
Taurus sun, Capricorn moon, and Virgo rising.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm like, golly, three earth signs all in one. But yeah, but then it's like with knowing that, it helped me understand like my thought
Yes,
process, how I think, and things
exactly.
like that, you know. And so when I was going into astrology, spirituality, and things like that, I more so wanted to discover more how I thought and how I was, how I think, and how
Yeah.
I'm designed. In order for and then I often believe that in order for me to understand myself, I have to dig within, you know,
Yeah.
really learn who I am in order
Right.
for me to get better, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm sure
Yeah.
you had the same journey, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what got you into it exactly?
Yeah, so really it happened after my spiritual awakening. So I had what I've heard is a little unusual of an experience. I had a spontaneous spiritual awakening during a solar eclipse. So a lot of times people, think, oh, death in the family or something major or an accident. But no, it was just an eclipse. And I didn't know at the time that that's what that was. But later I realized, yeah, it was exactly on the eclipse in a very predominant placement in my astrology chart. And it sort of just flew the doors open. Transformed me literally overnight. There were people that knew me that saw me right after that had seen me earlier that week and were like, oh my gosh, who are you? And I feel like all of these understandings started to rise up from the essence of my being. And it started off with astrology. And so there were things that I felt like I was understanding that, most of the time, I mean, astrology can be a lot to digest, and I just felt like it was clear, to me. And I pursued that for a while until the universe wanted to send me down the, path of human design. And so that sort of came up over and over. And finally, I was like, okay, I'll look to see what this thing is and fell in love with it. And I love astrology, but I loved that with human design, I could speak to somebody for like an hour and give them very practical, digestible guidance that they could then take with them, where astrology can have a little bit more of an intuitive interpretation that people can go for the reading and, try to study the aspects of astrology. But human design felt like it for self development, it's a really satisfying first step. So I studied that, and once again, it kind of just, I feel like, rose from my essence. I quickly digested it. And the journey has just continued more and more with my intuition and different things, but I love wrapping them all together. So,
Yeah, that's
yeah.
interesting. Well, before we get into that, I want to ask, what were you doing during the solar eclipse?
That's a good question. Yeah. Okay. So I had about 5 years earlier, I had an experience. I have always seen a lot of things. When I sleep, I'm a very visual person. I have had crazy experiences that we won't get into, but basically, I ever since I was little had had this nighttime visitation. This lasted through my entire life. And about 5 years prior to this, I actually saw a face of who this person was. I didn't identify immediately with it. I went and searched, found a picture. It's a long story, but found a picture, realized that it was my grandfather whom was on my father's side. Well, raised the way we were, we didn't talk about family. We didn't connect with family. I didn't know if my grandfather, I knew he passed. I didn't know if he ever knew me. And so I found out it was him that was visiting me. I asked my father if he knew me. He said he did. So my grandfather died when I was two. My grandmother was murdered when I was five. And so after that, a friend said, well, you should go to the psychic. So I did. And instantly, within 5 minutes, she named my grandfather. She's like, oh, by the way, he's here and blah, 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 blah. I mean, it was incredible, but my religious conditioning, unfortunately, the first time I left and something bad happened in my life, I was like, I let the devil in. And so I quick shut it down. Well, anyways, I ended up right before this, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm gonna go back to that psychic. And this was 5 years later. And I had an hour and a half drive to get to where she was. I had never listened to a podcast. And I just so happened was like, oh, yeah, I've heard, a friend talk about astrology. I don't know. I got nothing else to do. I'll pop one of those in. Aside from that, I don't know what to tell you. I wish I could be a fly on a wall, but all I know is by the time I got to that psychic meeting, and you're talking about a very repressed, self-conscious individual, I pretty much talked to the entire time. I was telling her, well, this is this because of blah, 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 and this and this. And can you believe that this? And I was connecting all these dots, and things were coming out of my mouth that I don't even know if I really realized what I was saying. And it just, by the end of that night, it was completely different. I understood myself. I understood my journey. I understood the world, the universe. Like, I knew my perspectives on what I felt about, religious things, and incarnation felt so like home to me. And it just kind of unfolded, and it didn't stop. It just ever since then has been one journey after another of unlocking rich, beautiful wisdom. So, yeah.
Wow. But were you like over like during the eclipse, were you outside or anything like that, or?
I was in the car. I mean, I was
Oh,
just
okay.
kind of like driving to the reading and then sat in the, but I
Oh,
did.
so the eclipse was during that reading?
It was around the time. It was, so I'm trying to remember the exact time of day. It was because that's the other thing with astrology, because eclipses are so powerful, you can feel the effects before, within a few days or a week even, and after. But this was literally maybe, I would say 12 hours difference from when the actual eclipse, because the eclipse, I don't quote me on this, it was a Gemini solar eclipse, and I want to say it was around 6 or 7 a.m. the next day. So yeah, it was like right before that experience. So
Don't tell your family that. They're gonna be like, you're going to hell.
They've already disowned me and before, a year before my awakening, and they have seen since then, because I'm very public about the things I believe. And yes, I'm my mother thinks I'm a witch, so you know.
Yeah. Some people they just don't understand, you know. Yeah. But because I had a conversation with one of my family members about, you know, rituals and things like that, and I was just like, if you think about it, during communion, we are drinking blood.
Yeah.
You know, and eating flesh. That never kind of got to you, you know, like no, it's a representation. And I was like, but still.
And even the intuitive gifts, it's just the conditioned expectations or allowance of where we allow or don't. It's like you go to church and you can be slain in the spirit. What is that? That's energy, you know, no different than Reiki, experiencing Reiki. You go to church and they're prophesying. What is that? No different than intuitive, you know, psychic knowing and sharing. It's just we're conditioned to say it's okay within these boundaries, it's of God, but on these boundaries, it's of the devil. I'm like, no, it is just our innate gifts and our human conditions of where we allow them, or the patriarchy where they feel okay with them being expressed.
Yeah. And when you go in into like both worlds, you can kind of see how similar a lot of stuff is. So I'm like, they low key doing rituals and witchcraft inside of the church, but you guys just call it something different. Like, it's all the same thing. Like you said, when it comes to Reiki, right? Like, I've actually had Reiki performed on me, and I remember pastors laying their hands on me and I felt energy or blessing and things of that sort. And I remember Reiki, I did Reiki like a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And the person put their hands on me and their hands were like very warm.
Yeah.
I was like, how in the hell are they hands so warm? You know, it kind of freaked me out, but I was just like, oh, well, it's all energy, intention, and things like that, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. Cause as I say, if, you know, somebody's possessed by a demon, somebody will come and, you know, perform a ritual, sprinkle water on them or pray or, you know, say certain things. And, you know, it's like, man, all of this stuff is pretty much the same. But, like you said, it's evil over here and it's good over here. Even like astrology, looking at the moon, the stars, like the three wise men looked up at the sky and they seen the stars and they followed it and then they found Jesus. And I was just like, you know?
Exactly.
So, talking about astrology, I could kind of see how, you know, a lot of people, some people are guessing, but I could see so many similarities in people's character and persona when it comes to when they were born.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, like say if I meet somebody that's the same sign as me, I already know, like, we're going to get along. They're probably going to be like this or that. If I meet somebody that's a Scorpio, I definitely know how they're going to be, you know, or Cancers, like Cancers are sensitive. Are Cancers sensitive? Let me think about Cancers. The majority of them are, you know.
Versus,
you know, like, it's kind of like a lot of people fit the stereotypes. Mm-hmm. But when it came to you researching and, you know, becoming certified in astrology, right? So how was it for you? Because I know you guys probably didn't talk about it growing up and stuff like that, right?
Oh, no. Yeah, no, we didn't. It was powerful. Like, it was really powerful because it's like you said, it offers you clarity. And it was so, I'm stumbling because it was powerful for me. It's like when you have someone that has absolutely no sense of self, and I'm very logical. So in my logical mind, I'm hearing someone say, well, yeah, that's the power of suggestion. But it's like there was a resonance that was within me that I was like, I see this repressed expression within myself. And that's what I find when I read for people is whether they, every expression, whether we're talking about astrology or human design or whatever, there's always going to be that polarity of a different swing. And it's just a matter of where we are holding frequency or resonating with that. And so, there were things I realized that I was suppressing aspects of myself, but I still could tell they were there and they were exciting to hear. Oh my gosh, could I be that person? Like, can I let that side of me out? Can I embody that? And so it was really powerful to help me really see not only who I am, but also understand how I tick, understand how my mind works, understand what triggers me. When we're talking astrology, also, I love the point you said about, looking at if this person has this sign, there's certain things that or you can assume. And really, it's neat because if we look at all of creation and sacred geometry and patterns and, all of these things, it's archetypes, it's archetypal expressions. And we all have all of them in us. It's just we have different mixed combinations of where they show up, in our lives. And so, I love it. It is such a powerful tool. And for me, it really, really helped me in healing, growing, and discovering who I was.
Wow, that's amazing. And so now I want you to help me discover who I am.
Yay. Awesome.
So you have
I would
my
love that.
information, right? So yeah, let's
Yeah,
just
I
give some
do.
people an example on how you actually work.
Yeah. Okay. So I actually think what I'm going to do, because one of my favorite things is actually mixing. So I'm going to focus on astrology, but I'm going to add some human design stuff with that to you on your chart. So I'm going to just kind of like share with what intuitively kind of came up that is being pointed out to me that I'm noticing. I definitely, like I said, think that that Capricorn moon is really interesting. Especially because that's a really hard placement, because the Capricorn is wanting to control and wanting to kind of look together. And when we look at the moon, this is like the opposite of that. This is like the feminine expression, our intuition, nurturing side of ourselves. So it can be hard feeling, especially I know for me because I have the same placement as far as the Capricorn. A moon. So it can feel like, especially earlier in life, that it's not safe to express yourself. This also, depending on the narrative, sometimes this can also notate that the whatever person in your life played more of the motherly role had a more controlling, or there was a lot of structure that was associated with them. Now, what is especially neat about this is when we look at astrology, where we have these expressions, like I said, we all have them. How we read it is based off of the planet and the house. And so the planet would be like, I talked about the moon, and the house is basically the stage in which this theme plays out. And so for you, it's especially interesting because it's in the fifth house. Well, guess what? The fifth house is ruled by the heart. And so you have this energy that's like this side of you that has that yin quality and intuitive and nurturing. And then you have your heart over here, like, yes, like do these things, you know, be these things. And then you have Capricorn that's like, okay, this is a lot. I feel tug of war. I have to figure this out. It needs to look stable. You know, and so the fifth house is themes of anywhere in our lives where we want to feel special, unique, or different. It's normally ruled by Leo and, as I said, the sun, the heart. And so this is hobbies, interest, you know, it's like that special project that you really want to see together. It can be sports, it can be romance, all of these exciting, fun and playful inner child type things. So that is a little bit of a challenging placement to there to navigate with that. The other thing I thought was neat in your chart is, and I mean, this is probably, I'm partial to Aries, no judgment, but I am an Aries. So you have an Aries North Node. So when we're talking about the North Node, we're talking about the energy and the things that we're meant to sort of come into. The South Node, which is opposite, is what is familiar, what is comfortable. So when we're talking South Node, a lot of times these are things in past lives that we've already accomplished. So in your chart, it says to me, you do a really good job about considering the feelings of other people, you know, being sensitive to their needs, wanting to balance that expression. But the universe is like, Sherman, this life, we want you to really shine, to really step into your power and to really make some waves. And when we look at human design and we add that extra line to this, this is in what's called gate three, which is difficulty in the beginning. And this energy is it can be difficulty in the beginning, but it's this energy that has the potential to really make an impact. And it's a person that looks at things and says, dude, guys, get it together. This isn't working anymore. We need to make changes. There needs to be adjustments. And it's like, well, what does that look like? Well, that's hard in the beginning to figure that out, but you got the energy to try to figure that out and to be the person that helps with that process. And in doing so, you have this courage about you that you can tap into, you know, and be able to leave a very lasting impression on society and the people around you. So of course, like I said earlier, there's always that shadow expression as well. So, you know, of course, it's easy to be more in the South Node. It's familiar. You know, it's easy to, you know, look outside to, you know, weigh and measure what we should or shouldn't do. But your North Node is like, you're meant to be the leader, the pioneer, to step forward and to make that courageous first step. So there's so much more, but like, I mean, how does that feel? Does any of that resonate?
Yeah, I do feel an internal battle going on within me, like often, where it's like, come on. Then it's like, hold on, you might want to tread lightly. Like that always happens. So it's crazy because I know Aries is, you know, the ram. So it's just trying to, you know, and the fire sign. So it's like, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, but then it's also something that's just like, hold on, wait, be patient, figure it out. And, you know, it's like it's like almost a teeter totter, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to tell you one other thing, just because once again, I feel like I'm being partial here to this energy. So in human design, you have what's called, your sun sign holds a lot of significance. And so for me, my sun sign gate is 51. And so when we go back to that Aries energy you have, you also have Mercury there, and Mercury is in 51. So I could really talk about that.
Wow.
And so this energy is, honestly, a lot of people have a little bit of a challenge explaining it because it's unusual. It's called the gate of shock. Okay, so it has many different expressions. Well, one of the more mundane expressions of this is people that have this energy can people be people that experience very shocking situations in life, whether that be like an example in my case, a spontaneous awakening. I was not entertaining spirituality, but here I am. You know, it was this sudden bolt of lightning that brought shock. So it can be shock as it relates to shaking your life up for transformation, or it can also be positive in the sense of surprising shock or beneficial shock, where it's like you might get opportunities or things fall into your favor that people are like, wait, what? How did you get that? Like, you know, this other person might have been more qualified, or, you know, this doesn't make sense. So it has that expression. But if we take it deeper, this is the cool part. People that have this energy are people who are here to really shake things up. And that means they are not meant to have personalities that are timid or quiet. Their energy is literally here to shake people out of complacency, to bring them out of the areas in their life where they're fooling themselves. It's an incredibly intuitive energy that if someone says, well, yeah, well, Sherman, I blah, 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 and you are the true speaker and you are the no BS, and you're like, okay, you know, that's great, but also. And so it's a very powerful energy. And this is to your Mercury, which means that you speak, when you speak, the words you speak are here for initiation and transformation. They are here to shake people. They are here to call people out. This is a powerful energy. So you have Aries there, you have that Mercury element, and then you have that very powerful 51 energy.
Oh my God, I wish my friends could hear this right now. They'll be like, yeah, I was gonna say militant grind, baby, you know?
Yep.
But yeah, it's crazy because, like, even if you look at my Facebook post, it's like, damn, you know, like you're kind of intense, you're pretty harsh, or man, you
Own
know, but
it, yeah.
then we have people that try to dumb that down for, you know, for people to digest it however way they're gonna do it. And I've always been the one like, man, F that. No, like,
Yep,
this is what it
exactly.
is. You know what I mean? Like, don't try to manipulate me into thinking that it's not, you know? And I have a really hard time with people when it comes to stuff like that. You know, but
Well,
then,
there, hopefully that's your affirmation.
oh yeah. Nah, seriously, that for sure is, yeah, that hit the nail on the head right there.
Awesome.
Wow.
It's
Yeah,
like digesting it, huh?
like while you were talking, I was like, oh, wow. Like, trust me, because people used to be like, man, why are you saying all of this stuff? And you know, this is and the third, and then I'll talk to somebody else about, man, I really appreciate the stuff you were saying, man. It really woke me up, man. And now I'm doing this, or somebody will be like, man, I remember when you told me this, and I'll be like, I said that? Like, damn, I don't even remember, but okay. I mean, I'm glad it helped you, you know? Yeah.
You're just channeling it. It just comes out of you.
Right. And it's crazy because it's like I'll have something on my mind, and if I don't get it out verbally or through writing or something like that, it'll really eat me up. Yeah. Whereas it's just like some energy is just like, nah, man, you got to speak your mind on this. And I'm known as a contrarian, by the way. So,
I love it. I love it.
yeah. Yeah, I love that. Wow, what else you see? Man.
Oh my gosh. So you talked about writing. Okay. So that is not only you can look at that for that Mercury energy too. Something I didn't mention with that though that I'm noticing now also is not only is that really powerful energy, but it's in your eighth house. Okay. So what this means, this is ruled by Pluto. So this is like this is serious stuff. It's like death, rebirth, karma, transformation, you know, karmic relationships and sexuality. So you can also add to that that layer that, once again, like, not only is the 51 affirming that it's meant to make transition astrology wise, yeah, it's really meant to change people. The other thing, when we're talking about writing and communication, we can consider or look at is the planets that are ruled by Mercury. So that is Virgo and Gemini. So you can look there, which is neat because you have Gemini on your midheaven with a whole lot of energy there. And also Virgo is your ascendant. So it's like you authentically showing up. It can have that essence of you are meant to write or share or communicate. And then Gemini stating your midheaven is kind of like the highest point. It's a career house. So it's like what you're meant to kind of share in public relation as you, as the, you know, person you are, you know, life purpose, you can look at that. So communication is definitely important for you. The other place you can look at it and consider it a little, you know, it's a little lighter normally, but it's interesting, is the third house. But even though while this is normally light, you have Scorpio there, which normally rules the eighth house where you have your Mercury. So once again, you have that deep energy kind of coming back into play. So, you know, talking about Scorpio, it's, yeah, it's like the depths. It's like the deep feelings. It's like the no small talk. Let's get to the point with things. And so, yeah, so that's really neat there. And then let me see here. Let me see. Yeah.
Small talk, that's funny.
Yeah.
Every time I have a podcast, people are like, wow, that's a good question. People never asked me that.
Yeah. So this one's important. So I'll give you another one here. So your sun sign, you know, so your Taurus sun sign, which where is your okay. Aw, I love that for you. Okay. So your sun sign is in your ninth house, which says to me that being able to share higher conscious ideas and understanding are important to what you're here to express. And what's neat about this is it's kind of has that like an almost an interesting effect to it with Taurus being there, because really Taurus is like, you know, sensuality and groundedness and, you know, is slower moving, where normally the ninth house is ruled by Sagittarius, which is wanderer and adventurer. And it's like, you know, they talk about Sagittarius, figure out where you want to point your arrow, you know? And so the ninth house is a lot about deeper learning and education and understanding. So it's like, I don't want to just experience the things. I want to experience the cultures. I want to dive in deeper. I want to understand why people do what they do. And so it's this really higher vibration of understanding and energy. So a big part of your journey of your sun, who you are, is sharing that with the world. But yet Taurus is there and says, okay, all right, that's fine, Sherman. You have fun with your mind and you explore and learn the things, but let's embody them. Let's feel them to our core. Let's know what they smell like and taste like and experience them. So this is like the travel experience that not only raises your awareness, but you come home with that meal you never will forget, or that, you know, texture, you know, from the textiles, or it's really embodying every essence of the experience. So not only the mind and learning, but also like really letting it have an impact and an impression on you. And those things being things you hold that help you communicate those understandings and things that you're here to share with the world. And so the other thing with this, though, you want to be careful of is because in human design, you have this in gate 24, which is sort of this energy of, It kind of rationalizes things. So it can be positive in our sense of helping us to understand, but the shadow expression of this would be, you know, if we look at Taurus energy as embodying, you know, the opposite of that is when we're too much in our minds and we're not embodying. So rationalization, everything needs to be logical. It needs to make sense. It needs to have a clear path, you know, so it's surrendering to your natural ability to sort of be more trusting in the moment. And that clarity will come as you kind of surrender to the path. It's like, you don't have to be plugging upstream, wearing yourself out. You know, it's like a little more of a going with the flow of movement and where you're meant to go. So, yeah.
Well, I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
I often tell myself, be in the moment, man. It's okay. Just relax.
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. Because I always think about like what's to come or thinking about something else. It's just like, look, man, while you're here, just focus on this, please.
Perfect.
And then move on to the next, you know?
Yeah, I love that.
Trust me, sometimes I'm like, oh, what am I going to eat tonight while I'm having an important conversation? It's just like, man, come on. You got hours to think about that. Let's think about something else, you know, or focus on this.
Yeah,
so I know what you mean. Wow. And then it's funny when it comes to the human design. My cousin called me on my birthday, and she mentioned it, and she knows, you know, she knows exactly who I am. And she was like, you're probably a manifesting generator. And I was like, what is that? And then I took the test and I was that. And I was pretty interesting because when I started to, well, then I also used TikTok to do research and figure out what a manifesting generator is and how they operate.
Yeah.
And I feel like the world doesn't really understand how a manifesting generator operates.
You know,
it's like, y'all have all of these things going on and you're doing this, you're doing that. And I always like, sometimes when people like find your niche, find that one thing. And I'm like, I don't think I could do just one thing, bro.
Yeah. I'm a manifesting generator too. And yeah, it's not the societal standard of living, and it doesn't make sense. And it might make people's heads spin a little bit, but the cool thing about it is we are the express route. We're the energizer bunnies of energy. And it's like, you tell us, you know, I always use the example, let's say you want to go to school for a particular degree. And they're like, okay, these are the classes you need to take. The manifesting generator is like, no, I'm going to take this one. This is irrelevant. I'll take this, this, and I'm going to get done in half the time and still do a darn good job. You know? And so it's like, it's, you know, and because of that, we bounce around, you know, we're taking and picking up the pieces that we need to pick up. And what you find is later in life, they all come together with that beautiful picture. And you, it's like freaking awesome tools in your back pocket. You know, it's like you go on a journey and you're like, oh man, I have to. Oh yeah, that's right. I already freaking learned that. And so it's like, you got it, you know? So.
Oh yeah. Trust me. When people talk about, cause I have my real estate license, life insurance, mortgage, notary. Oh my God. I sold cars, car salesman. So the way I figured it out early on was like, if I learn all of these things or work in these fields, even if it's for a short amount of time, it'll be to my benefit at some time in my life.
Yeah.
You know, now when people are talking about something, I'm like, yeah, I already know that. Why? Oh, because I work for a company doing this or doing that. You know, and I just have, like you said, I have a wealth of knowledge. It's like Batman's tool belt. It's like, what do you need? Okay, cool.
There you
go.
You
know what I mean? Like, I got this here. I got that here. And so when people come to me with an idea, like I could make it happen like that, but it's because of the things that I've done, which accumulated so many resources where it's just like, man, I could almost do anything. Like, hey, you want to film a movie? Okay, cool. I'm gonna connect you with this person, you know, like almost anything. And I love that. And the hardest part about it is just like people not understanding. Some people are like, I don't even know what you really do.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yes, man, I don't know either. I just do stuff, you know.
That's when you say good. That's because I'm doing it right.
Right. Some people,
if you
like,
had
man,
me figured out, I would be doing it wrong.
Right. Exactly. This is hard for me to figure myself out. So what do you do? What's your experience? Oh God, what am I gonna tell them? Which part of my life am I gonna say now? So yeah, after I, and doing that really helped me understand myself so much more.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like you growing up in a religious household that was overbearing, it's like, damn, well, what am I doing wrong? What about me? But then I think about it, I'm like, man, if I grew up in a household where people were just like affirming me or giving me affirmations or telling me things good about myself, I wouldn't have to beat myself up so much to figure out who I am or what's going on, you know? Yeah. And then I like the part where they told me I'm a hermit opportunist. And I was like, and they are exactly right.
It's pretty neat though, because it's like basically the way you determine that is looking at the each line, which connects to the I Ching, and there's six lines in the I Ching, and each one has a unique expression. So the second line is the hermit, but it's not just the hermit, it's the natural. So it's like the line before it is the one, and the line before it says, I need to research, I need to learn, I need to study. And the two says, I just got it. You know, it's like, I don't know. And so with the two energy, people might say, oh, how did you blah, blah, blah? And you're like, I don't know, I just do. You know, it comes naturally. And so because of this, people call you out. They may also spot talents in you before you spot them in yourself. You know, so they'll be like, oh, ask Sherman to do that. He's really good at blah, blah, blah. You know, so you get volunteered. You can get volunteered for things and called out. So the important part, the reason it's the hermit, is because you are so natural. You know, well, we can't go around with an empty cup. So then you pull back. And the key is losing yourself in the things you love, allowing to be the things that you want to be, and kind of fill your cup being lost in the moment. And as you do, you refill, you recharge, you build that magnetism back up, so that then people are going to continue to call you out. So it's this pull, push and pull, and which is especially a little more challenging with having the four, because the four is the opportunist. And I know that sounds icky to a lot of people, the word, but basically all it means is that your opportunities come through the people you're connected with. And also because it is the second number in the profile, it means that people tend to see you more as more probably social and outgoing than what you may or may not feel. And so, but you have to be around people, because that is how you get your opportunity. So it's like the hermit calls you in, people call you out, and it's this tug of war back and forth. So,
oh, yeah, trust me, because sometimes I don't understand how I'm so popular. Like, I'll be like, what? Like, you know, like everywhere, especially in LA, I'm like, oh my God, I see somebody I know everywhere. Yeah. And my friends often, like, especially in college, my friends will be like, while I was in college, like, we took a trip. It's a funny story. We took a trip to DC to go to Howard University. And as soon as we parked, I got out the car and I heard somebody calling my name. And I was like, what? You know, my first time being in DC. And it was my friend I went to high school with. And she came walking down like, hey. And they were like, oh my God, this guy knows everybody. You know, like everywhere we went, including when I was in Abu Dhabi, out the country. I was at the mosque and I heard somebody, I heard my name. I'm like, am I tripping? Like, who is saying my name out here? And it was like one of my clients. And I was like, this is insane. Like, I could not believe it. But it's funny to me, because to me, it doesn't register. But to everybody else, it's like, oh, yeah, that guy's popular. And I'm just like, man, I barely like talking. You know, I don't know how this happens. Like, I'm not like goodness. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm not that type of guy. But for some reason, a lot of people know me. So why didn't you say that?
Oh goodness.
It's like, wow, this stuff has some truth to it.
Yeah, it does. It really does.
As you have me, I will stay in the house so fast. Unless you were like, hey, come to this networking event. I'll fill it out. I'm like, okay, I think this is for me. Wow, that's a lot to digest. I should have talked to you a long time ago. Because the way you connected is like something I've never heard before. Like,
Oh,
man.
well, thank you. Thank
Nah, no
you.
problem. Like, yeah, I've been doing this for a minute, and the way you broke it down was like phenomenal. Like, I've never heard it this way.
I received that. I take that 'cause like I said, it came quickly. I've only been certified for a couple years, so it came quickly.
So, do you typically get that response when you do break somebody's chart down? Like, they're like, what? Wow, I never heard it like this before.
Every time I tend to get that, and I tend to make people cry. That's how I know I've done a good job.
You make people cry reading their natal chart. God.
Because it is so powerful. Yeah, it's like when you feel like you can be seen in such a way that it's sometimes it just makes you melt.
Yeah, especially when you're growing up in this type of society where it's like nobody really accepts you for who you are, you know. But I don't know, I probably would have, got a little emotional if I didn't know a little bit beforehand, you know. I was like, wow, somebody finally gets it. Seriously, because I went so deep into learning about manifesting generators. And I was just like, oh my God, maybe I should just embrace who I am, and everybody's not supposed to fit in the box, you know? Like it's okay. Like you're talented at so many things where you could just dabble in this. Okay, I'm bored. All right, let me do this. And you just have to always just stay doing something, you know? Because like you could, I feel like somebody like you can master something so fast. And then it's like, okay, and then doing repetitive tasks over and over could get boring. So you have to add other elements, just to keep you busy. Wow, this has been amazing. Oh my God. Yeah, we're right on time too. So I need to book something with you. So where can people find you? I know this is, look, I'm sitting over here like I don't want to let her go, but she has to. You have like a special place in my heart now. But where can people find you?
Well, my website is my name, CassandraDeanne.com. But also, like, if anything I said resonated, definitely check out my podcast, Things I Talk About, which I talk about all these things. But yeah, and as far as social media, I mean, I try to be active on Instagram. That's probably the best place to find me. And yeah.
Instagram. Okay, and that's DM with two N's for people that are listening. So yeah, this has been amazing. And definitely, so we went over human design astrology. And do you want to get a little bit into Akashic Records to tell people what that is?
Sure, yeah, I can do that. So I am, in addition to these things we talked about, I am a certified galactic astrologer, which part of that is reading the Akashic Records. And so this is kind of like an intuitive or psychic reader that goes into what is the Akashic Records, which is basically, I describe this as a frequency in which it holds everything past, present, future. And so the easiest way I could describe it is this. A lot of times people are familiar with psychic, they're familiar with the term medium. So the difference is like an intuitive reader is going to be connecting to like your higher self and your guides. A medium, someone that is a medium is going to be connecting to your ancestors that passed, and other people and possibly your guides. Well, someone that's an Akashic Records reader, they're going into your soul's records. So basically, anything and everything can be found there, whether it's relatives, ancestors, galactic connections. This is where you find past lives. So this is rich, kind of like deep plugs into the deepest essence of your soul and your soul's journey that it's been on. So my work is that I have, like I said, the galactic astrology, which kind of is just another piece that builds off of the astrology. Maybe we could talk about that another day. But and I do, part of that process is reading the Akashic records. And I do have a only Akashic records reading that you can book with me, to where I read, connect to your Akashic records, and I'm able to read your soul's journey. And so I love doing that. It is always a really powerful experience when people hear very detailed descriptions of lives that they have had and guidance that they're getting sort of direct from their light council, guides, angels, whatever source you believe in. And it is so neat to see how the lives often mirror the present soul's journey and offer so much clarity in helping us move past often some of the hardest obstacles we have, things that we don't understand. It's like, oh, I keep doing this and I don't know why I'm doing this. And sometimes discovering and unlocking those past lives help you to really see the full scope of what your soul came here to experience based on its journey beforehand.
Wow. That's a Akashic record reader, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I see you're booked up until June. I'm like, whew, yeah, I want to get into that.
Yeah.
Yes, I have some pretty rough dreams sometime where I'm like, what is going on? Why do I, you know what I mean? So yeah, I definitely want to book a session with you. I was actually looking at your calendar too. So
yes. Well, I'd love to read for you. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Cassandra. It's been amazing, very insightful. I enjoyed this, and I'm sure the listeners will too. And if you were to leave people with one thing, when it comes to this journey, what would you leave them with?
Oh, that's a good one. Definitely get to know who you are. And even if nothing else that I said like resonated, you know, sit down with a journal. I truly believe that who we are, the essence of our soul and what our soul wants to speak to us, is already inside. So I feel like if we sit down, if you have a question, what do I want to do? Who am I? You know, what do I have to offer? Sit down and start writing, and your soul will reveal to you the things that you desire and want to be. And when our heart pulls us towards a direction that's exciting to us, you know, for me, it was astrology and human design, and it's been this beautiful magical journey, you know, that lights me up. And that's the thing, is I feel like we are so mind oriented, we're so externally oriented, and I believe the answer to our relationships, the answer to, you know, self-improvement, the things we want to accomplish is all there if we can connect to that essence of our hearts and not over analyze so much in our mind. And so getting to know yourself and sitting with yourself, allowing those moments for your soul to speak to you, are always going to be transformative, and you'll always hear something back. Yeah.
Wow, that is amazing. Cassandra, I can't thank you enough, but thank you again for getting on here, sharing your wisdom, sharing your insight, and being vulnerable enough to tell your story. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. And thank you for holding space like this for people such as myself to come and talk with you.
Oh, you are very welcome. Very welcome. And have a great rest of your day.
Awesome. Thank you.
We hope you're leaving this episode feeling empowered. Remember, greatness is a choice. To stay updated on our latest content and continue sharpening your edge, hit that subscribe button. Let's keep grinding together. Remember to visit militantgrind.com